if you build a state-of-the-art, trillion-dollar skyscraper, you really better remember to install the elevator.
Right. Otherwise, you're just staring up at a very expensive monument to poor planning.
Exactly. Today, we're looking at a $69 billion business strategy that basically completely forgot the elevators.
It's pretty wild to look back on.
It really is. We have a fascinating and frankly just mind-boggling retrospective deep dive for you today. We're pulling the most critical insights from a July 2026 analysis titled The Game Pass Earthquake: Microsoft's Failed Pricing Experiment.
A very fitting title, honestly.
Yeah. So our mission today is to dissect one of the biggest pricing strategy miscalculations in gaming history. We're going to figure out how Microsoft alienated its core audience, lost 4 million subscribers in just 6 months, and, well, had to orchestrate a very public, very humiliating retreat.
Yeah, and to understand the sheer scale of this earthquake, we really have to look at the tectonic plates that were shifting underneath it all. Because Microsoft didn't just wake up one day and decide to overhaul their pricing model on a whim. This entire situation stems from the astronomical, earth-shattering $69 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard.
Which is still just a crazy number to say out loud, 69 billion.
It's massive. And that single price tag set the stage for everything we're going to talk about today. Because when a company makes the biggest bet in entertainment history, the pressure to figure out how to, actually pay that bill becomes the driving force behind literally every subsequent executive decision.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I'm wondering, how does a trillion-dollar tech giant, a company with armies of analysts and decades of market dominance, make such a monumental miscalculation?
That's a great
She
question.
feels like a thrilling business mystery, right? And the inciting incident of this mystery happened on October 1st, 2025. That was the day the email went out. And the price of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate didn't just inch up to adjust for inflation.
Not at all.
It suddenly jumped from, $15 or $20, depending on your plan, all the way up to $29.99 a month. Basically, they doubled the price overnight.
Yeah, a massive jumps.
And the fallout from that single pricing decision is just staggering. We know from confidential FTC court documents that Microsoft had an internal target of 77 million subscribers by June 2027.
And that 77 million number is crucial.
Right.
It represents the growth trajectory their entire corporate strategy relied upon. Subscription models require exponential, continuous growth to justify those massive upfront content investments.
But by July 2026, just months after the price hike, they hadn't just stalled, they plummeted.
They really did.
They dropped from 34 million subscribers down to just 30 million. That is a 47 million subscriber gap between their projection and reality.
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah. And the financial hit follows right alongside it. Projected revenue fell from a target of $2.8 billion to just $820 million.
Wow. It is a complete structural collapse of their growth model. And the source material highlights a psychological concept here that perfectly explains why this collapse was so sudden and severe.
The breaking point thing, right?
Exactly. It's called the subscription breaking point. It's this idea that consumers have a rigid, subconscious monthly ceiling for their digital subscriptions. Usually it sits around $100 to $120 total. That covers your streaming video, your music, your cloud storage, literally everything.
Okay, so when Microsoft pushed Game Pass to $30 a month, they didn't just make their individual service more expensive.
Right.
They forced consumers to breach that overall psychological ceiling.
Yes. And when you cross that threshold, you trigger a mental audit. The consumer stops seeing the service as this passive, recurring background utility, and they start treating it as an active liability. The perceived value completely shifts.
It's like realizing your gym membership, which used to be a fun, easily justifiable perk, is suddenly the biggest, most aggressive bill in your entire digital budget. You can't ignore it anymore. It demands justification every single month. And there is a quote in the source from a 34-year-old London programmer named James that perfectly captures this shift in mindset.
I love that quote.
Yeah, he said, "I was an Xbox customer for 8 years, but when the price jumped from $15 to $30, I felt ripped off. I only play three or four games a year. For $360, I can buy those games and own them forever."
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, James is highlighting the exact moment the value proposition inverted.
Right.
At $15, Game Pass was famously called the best deal in gaming. It was an impulse keep. At $30, it requires a spreadsheet to justify.
Seriously.
But the structural failure goes even deeper than domestic pricing fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft completely ignored the economics of regional pricing.
And we have to remember, this isn't just a US or UK issue. A $30 blanket price hike globally ignores local purchasing power entirely. A $30 monthly bill in the US will make you think twice, sure. But if you take that exact same price tag and apply it to markets like Turkey, Brazil, or India, it is an economic disaster.
It really is.
It's completely untethered from the reality of the local economy.
Because the economics of digital goods dictate that the cost of reproduction is zero. It costs Microsoft nothing to send a digital copy of a game to an additional user in Brazil.
Right, there's no shipping or manufacturing.
Exactly. Therefore, the smart strategy, the strategy perfected by companies like Netflix and Spotify, is to adapt your pricing to fit local markets. You charge a price that the local median income can actually bear.
Which keeps the volume high.
Yes, exactly. It allows you to maintain massive volume. By enforcing a US-centric price globally, Microsoft basically abandoned revenue elasticity.
Oh, wow.
They preferred to get $0 from a canceled subscriber in Turkey rather than $5 or $10 from a retained one. It devastated their international base.
So when you force an entire global audience to confront that breaking point and you actively price out your international markets, you better have a flawless justification.
I really do.
And Microsoft thought they did. They believed they had a secret weapon that would make everyone swallow that $30 pill. Which brings us to November 2025 and the launch of Call of Duty Black Ops 7.
The supposed killer app.
Right.
The game that was going to anchor the entire $30 subscription tier.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I have to question the fundamental business logic taking place behind closed doors at Microsoft.
Yeah, that's baffling.
They knew that putting Call of Duty on Game Pass on day one was the entire justification for literally doubling the price of their service.
Right.
If you are well aware that your $69 billion gamble and your $30 subscription fee all hinge on the success of this one single video game, how could you possibly let it release in such a catastrophic state?
It's a great question.
Was it just blind hubris, or was it a desperate, panicked rush to start recouping that massive debt?
Well, the evidence strongly points to a panicked rush. The pressure to generate immediate cash flow completely overrode basic quality control.
Yeah.
The state of Black Ops 7 at launch wasn't just poor. It was a historic low point for a flagship franchise.
The numbers are brutal.
They are. Critics gave it a 68, which is dismal for a AAA title with an unlimited budget. But the user score on Metacritic sat at a 1.7.
A 1.7 out of 10. That is the lowest user score in the entire decades-long history of the franchise.
And the reasons for this failure are incredibly well documented in the retrospective. First, the development cycle was completely truncated. Activision built this game in just 18 months.
Which is insane for a game like that.
Right. To put that in perspective, a standard development cycle for a game of this magnitude, with its complex physics engines and vast multiplayer ecosystems, is at least 3 years.
Wow.
When you cut the development time in half, you are inevitably cutting out the polish, the testing, and the innovation.
And the source describes the campaign as soulless, lacking any real narrative excitement, and clocking in at only 4 to 5 hours long.
Yeah. A total afterthought.
Gamers said it felt like buying an expensive, buggy DLC rather than a full next-generation release.
Right.
But a short, uninspired campaign wasn't even the fatal blow. The fatal blow was the sheer technical failure. The server infrastructure. The actual hardware and software meant to handle millions of players logging on at once just collapsed.
Yeah, we're talking about severe failures in server stability here.
What does that actually look like behind the scenes?
Well, when a massive multiplayer game launches, it's not just about rendering graphics on your TV. It's about network routing, database management, and authentication servers.
Okay.
Millions of players rush the digital doors on day one. If your authentication servers are bottlenecked, or if your network code is untested under heavy load, the infrastructure just buckles.
And Black Ops 7 failed this stress test spectacularly.
Oh, completely. Players were experiencing massive queue times, invisible walls in the game, silent weapons, and just hard crashes.
I read about the outages.
Yeah. We are talking about outages lasting up to 8 hours during peak evening times.
Imagine paying $30 a month, reaching your subscription breaking point, just to stare at an 8-hour crash screen.
It's infuriating.
You can't have servers crashing for 8 hours and expect people to keep paying that kind of premium. The math just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
The subscribers who joined Ultimate exclusively for Call of Duty, played a fundamentally broken game for 2 weeks, realized the value just wasn't there, and hit the cancel button.
It was a mass exodus, and it proves that a subscription service cannot rely on a single tentpole release to mask fundamental infrastructure and quality issues.
Right.
The consumer tolerance for technical failure basically drops to zero when you are charging a premium price.
Which is why, exactly 6 months later, Microsoft had to raise the white flag. The disastrous game launch and those 4 million cancellations brought the entire strategy to its knees.
Yeah, they had no choice.
April 21st, 2026. We saw a bombshell announcement from the brand new Xbox CEO, Asha Sharma. Her statement is just a stunning admission of defeat.
It really is. What did she say?
She said, "Game Pass Ultimate had become too expensive. We listened to your feedback. The price has been reduced, but future Call of Duty titles will no longer arrive on day one."
Man, it is a total strategic surrender on two fronts.
Right. They rolled the price back down to $22.99, which, let's note, is still significantly higher than the original $15.
Sure.
But the real shockwave was completely ripping out the foundation of the strategy. Call of Duty was removed from day one entirely and pushed to a one-year delay.
Yeah.
The whole explicit reason they raised the price to $30 in the first place was just gone, and the reaction from the community was brutal.
Oh, I bet.
The source cites a Twitter poll with 3,800 participants reacting to the price cut. Only 10% of users were fully satisfied. Meanwhile, a massive 52% had already canceled their subscriptions entirely and gone back to buying physical games.
What's fascinating here is that shift in consumer behavior.
Reverting to physical.
Yeah. Reverting back to physical games is a profound rejection of the digital rent-not-own subscription ecosystem that Microsoft literally spent billions trying to enforce.
Absolutely.
The source includes a brilliant quote from gaming market analyst Daniel Ahmad. He simply observed, "Customers aren't fools."
That cuts right to the core of the issue. You can't market your way out of a bad math problem.
Exactly. The business lesson here is that one single piece of content, no matter how ubiquitous the brand name is, cannot sustain an entire ecosystem.
Right.
A subscription service requires continuous volume and variety. If you're going to charge premium prices, you have to deliver premium, consistent value across multiple genres and demographics every single month.
And they just didn't do that.
No. Microsoft executives operated under the assumption that the Call of Duty logo was this magic shield that would deflect any scrutiny of the actual service quality. But as Ahmad pointed out, consumers do the math.
And the collateral damage to their brand identity is just immeasurable. I mean, they spent years cultivating a very specific reputation. Their literal marketing slogan was, "The best deal in gaming."
Oh, yeah. They hammered that everywhere.
They hammered that phrase right into the culture. And that slogan was shattered in just 6 months.
Yeah.
And as the retrospective points out, trust takes years of consistent delivery to build, but it breaks in an instant. And overcoming the inertia of a canceled subscription to win someone back takes an incredibly long time.
Which left Microsoft scrambling for a lifeline. Their flagship game was delayed, their price was still inflated compared to the previous year, and they desperately needed some way to justify that $22.99 price tag to the remaining subscribers.
Well, I want to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Okay, go for it.
We're talking about a complete lack of value, but Microsoft did roll out some massive technical improvements to their cloud gaming platform right in the middle of this chaos.
That's true.
They drastically improved the streaming resolution and noticeably cut down the input lag in February 2026. Doesn't providing that kind of cutting-edge premium cloud tech justify the ongoing cost for the hardcore crowd?
Look, from a purely engineering standpoint, that February 2026 cloud update was a marvel. The source confirms that they bumped the resolution up to a crisp 1440p, and they managed to drop input lag from 110 milliseconds down to 75 milliseconds.
Which is a big deal, right?
Oh, absolutely. For competitive gaming, a 35 millisecond drop in latency is the difference between missing a shot and landing it. It was a genuinely superior, highly polished experience.
Okay, so there is some value there.
However, we have to look at the reality check provided by the usage data.
Oh, right.
The technology is phenomenal, but the audience simply isn't there.
Because according to the source's surveys, only 18% of Ultimate subscribers actually use cloud gaming on a regular basis.
Exactly. The vast majority of the audience, over 80%, are still downloading games directly to the hard drives of their local consoles or their PCs.
So they built this amazing thing that nobody uses.
Right. Microsoft's invested heavily in an incredible piece of infrastructure that only a fraction of their shrinking user base actually utilizes. There is a fundamental mismatch between the product and the audience.
Yeah.
The hardcore gamer, who cares deeply about 35 milliseconds of input lag, already owns high-end, dedicated local hardware. They don't need the cloud.
Makes sense.
And the casual gamer who benefits from the convenience of the cloud doesn't care about 1440p resolution. Technical upgrades, no matter how impressive, cannot fix a fundamental lack of compelling content.
It's like you can have the fastest, most beautifully paved highway in the world, but if there's no destination people actually want to drive to, the highway stays empty.
That's a perfect way to put it.
And while Microsoft was dealing with their empty highway, their competitors were having an absolute field day.
The competitive landscape shifted dramatically. When a massive player creates a vacuum in a market this lucrative, someone else is inevitably going to fill it.
And the clear winner of this entire self-made Microsoft disaster was Sony. PlayStation Plus Premium sat right there at $17.99 a month, boasting a library of over 700 games.
They really lucked out.
Sony didn't even have to launch an aggressive counter-marketing campaign. They just quietly soaked up the millions of fleeing Xbox customers looking for a stable alternative.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Sony. PC platforms like Steam and the Epic Games Store thrived as people migrated back to the traditional model of buying and owning individual games outright.
So Microsoft effectively funded their direct competitors' growth by pushing their own frustrated customers out the door.
Essentially, yeah.
By attempting to monopolize the market through an overpriced, underdelivered subscription, they accidentally reinvigorated traditional game sales. And they strengthened the very rivals they were trying to crush with the Activision acquisition in the first place.
Wow. So what does this all mean? We've seen the $69 billion setup, the $30 peak, the technical crash, and the humiliating retreat. Where do we go from here?
Well, the source lays out a forecast for 2027, and it paints a very different, much more sobering picture of Game Pass than what Microsoft originally envisioned.
What's the prediction?
The analyst forecast for 2027 suggests Game Pass is going to experience very slow, stagnant growth, likely hovering around 33 to 35 million subscribers.
Man, that is less than half of their original 77 million target.
Yeah, it's grim. Furthermore, the price is almost certainly going to stall at that $22.99 mark because they simply don't have the leverage or the consumer goodwill to touch that dial again anytime soon.
They are terrified of poking the bear again.
Oh, absolutely. And perhaps the most telling prediction is that there's a 70% chance Microsoft will be forced to launch a freemium ad-supported tier by the end of 2026.
Wait, really? Ads in Game Pass?
Yeah. They need to inflate their user numbers to appease shareholders, and free entry with ad interruptions might be their only remaining lever.
Wow.
They have transitioned from being the undisputed best deal in gaming to what the author calls an average service. Average price, average value, average reputation.
To you, listening to this right now, I think the most powerful takeaway here is a profound reminder of consumer agency.
Definitely.
We spend so much time talking about these trillion-dollar tech giants as if they are, you know, unstoppable forces of nature. We assume they can dictate the market, set whatever prices they want, and we just have to accept it.
But this story proves that even a company with the vast resources of Microsoft cannot escape the grasp of its own customers.
Exactly. When users feel disrespected, when the underlying math of the deal stops making sense, the consumer holds the ultimate veto power. They vote with their wallets and they hit cancel.
And that collective action sent shockwaves through an entire industry, forcing a total strategic pivot from one of the largest corporations on the planet.
Which brings up a really fascinating lingering thought. We just watched a community band together break the subscription breaking point at $30. And literally force a tech giant into a humiliating retreat. So what happens when other massive utilities in our digital lives like Netflix or Spotify or Amazon inevitably try to push past that exact same psychological price ceiling?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Are we witnessing an isolated gaming disaster? Or are we actually seeing the beginning of the end for the golden age of digital subscriptions entirely? Something to think about next time you sit down to review your monthly digital bills. And maybe wonder if that beautiful skyscraper you're paying for actually has any elevators.
A very vital question for the entire digital economy.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.